Good morning, Scouts. My name is Father Sean Tunick. I am the chaplain for the Catholic Committee on Scouting here in the Archdiocese of Kansas City. I am used to preaching in lots of different places. You get used to this at crooked churches and round churches and rectangular churches. This is the first Speedway I've ever preached in, so this is a little new for me this morning. But I gotta say, we gotta have the best Scout Council in the whole country here. I mean, what other place could pull off an event like this? It's been amazing, hasn't it? Amen to that. About the only thing that gets me more excited than scouting has to be our Catholic faith. And so this is just heaven for me to be able to come together and put our faith and our Catholic scouting together on this Sunday morning. And look what our church says to us, especially here in Kansas City, about how important scouting is. We've got Archbishop Nauman, the Archbishop of Kansas City in Kansas, and Bishop Finn, the Bishop of Kansas City, St. Joseph, the two shepherds of our combined flock here. Let's make them welcome. That says something, that our bishops say the scouts are getting together. We want to be there. We think this is important because it shows that the church supports a lot of what we're about as scouts. And certainly in my life, the two have always gone together. I am a Vigil Honor member in the Order of the Arrow, Brother Ginshamun Wasachgak, which means sounding oak, because I used to bugle on top of a tree stump. But that's another story. Some of you remember that at Camp Nash. I'm also keeper of the Sacred Bundle Silver Seal in the tribe of Miksay, and love spending time down at camp each summer. So hopefully I'll get to see a lot of you later this summer, even down at Camp Nash, Camp Bartle. There's no place I'd rather be than to be with scouts, and to be able to celebrate the Mass with scouts is just one of the greatest things. Now, I try to think, well, what would be a good Speedway kind of homily? You know, because scouts, we don't normally camp at a Speedway. I mean, we make fun of the Girl Scouts for camping in shopping malls and stuff like that. We like to go into the woods more, and so this is, okay, we don't have any trees. We've got light posts at a Speedway, so what can we talk about at a Speedway? Well, I thought, you know, our gospel today is beautiful because it talks about knowing the way. It says, show us the way. We don't know the way. How do we know where to go? And I thought, well, that's great for us as scouts because we know a little bit about showing people the way. How do we know the way? Well, ask a scout. We are famous for knowing the way. I remember getting my orienteering merit badge way back when I was a little first-class scout. I learned how to orient my map and my compass and know how to go where I'm supposed to go. Now we've got GPSs. Everybody uses GPS? Ah, you got them on your phone, you got them in your car. You know, I was thinking, what kind of spiritual lesson could we get from a GPS? And it kind of hit me the other day. Every time I'm in my car, how easy it is for me to be lost in the middle of nowhere, and I just hit the little button on my GPS, just says, go home. I don't know where I'm at, I want to go home, home. And right away, the magic of my little GPS, it calculates all the route, and it says, okay, Father Sean, it doesn't actually call me by name, that'd be real neat, but it says, turn left, go 100 feet, and I know if I follow that like little purple line on my GPS, I'm going to get there, and it's like calculating the best, most perfect route that I could ever hope to get home. It knows. It's amazing. And I thought, how interesting it is that sometimes, when I'm maybe not paying attention so much, and I'm kind of doing my own thing driving, I'm like, oh, look at that. What's that over there? And pretty soon, you know, I've missed that exit that it told me I'm supposed to get off on. And I know it because all of a sudden my GPS kicks in and it says, recalculating. And I'm like, what? What happened? That was my exit back there, but it recalculated, and right away, it pops up on my screen, that purple line, it's there again, and it says, here is the new best route to get home. I'm like, well, that's neat. All I have to do is keep following it, and now I really don't know where I'm at, but it knows. It knows, so I'm okay, because my GPS just knows. And I follow it. As soon as I start following, I'm good, until the next time I get off, and it's like, recalculating. I'm like, ah, okay, and it's really bad when you're like at a road parallel, so you know where you want to be, and like every side street you're going by, recalculating, I'm like, ugh. But I know that if I just start following the GPS, I'll be fine. So that's one way that we can know the way. And that's great for getting home, when we're trying to get in our car home. But in life, what's our destination? What is home? How are we trying to get home? Well, hopefully a lot of us would be able to say that ultimately, home for us, we know is not here. That home is heaven. We want to be there. The good news is that God is a little bit like that magic GPS. If we want to go home, God God has already calculated the best, most perfect route. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he's got this beautiful plan for our lives that if we follow it, it will get us home by the best possible route. Now, hopefully we follow that route, but if you're like me, especially as I look back, don't ask my Weeblo's den leader. I was a little unruly as a Weeblo. I got better. But sometimes, don't we tend to get off the route a little bit? Yeah, I see some den leaders nodding out there. They know. Yeah, we don't always just follow the route. I mean, it would be so easy if we just followed the route God picked for us. But we don't do that. We say, you know what? I know better. I'm going to try this way, God. Everybody else seems to be going this way. You know, and maybe we don't know that there's a bunch of roads closed up there. But we think we know, so we do our own thing. The thing that hit me the other day, when I was, you know, being recalculated over and over on my GPS, is if in life, maybe we take a wrong turn, it's okay. God does not, like, calculate just one route. It's not like when we get off the route and we go far, far away that somehow, you know, it's a million miles to get back to where we're supposed to be. God doesn't work that way. We can be a million miles off our route, doing our own thing. God, you know, this party looks really good. I'm going there. I'm going to do that. Drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it is. To say, I'm going to try that, God. All the while, if you're listening, God is probably screaming in your head, wrong way, make a U-turn. But we don't. We just keep going and going. And we get off the way. But the good news is we don't have to come back a million miles to find God again. He's like that GPS that just said, you know what, recalculating. And from wherever we are, God says, this is the new best route. All you have to do is start today to say, God, I will follow you. You are the way. You know the way. I will follow your way. And as soon as we say yes, God says, great, this is the new best way. It's not the same way. I've met so many people go wrong in their life because they keep trying to get back as if the sin never happened, as if the fall didn't happen. Well, you know what? Our mistakes in life are part of who we are too. God knows that. That's what we celebrate at Easter, that he came to die because there was no way we were going to fix all our mistakes on ourselves. But we do have to start listening. When you get lost, the thing you cannot do is just throw your GPS out the window and say, well, I'll handle this, God. No, God says, listen to me, I will help you. I will help show you the way. So that GPS taught me a little bit about the way. Scouts also taught me a little bit about the way. Particularly in Scouts, I learned another important tip. And that is that the best way is often the hard way. Now, we don't want to make things unnecessarily hard, but, I mean, let's admit it, as Scouts, sometimes we like a challenge, shall we say. We don't always do things the easy way. The easy way is when you come to this speedway, you like drive up with your RVs and buses. People don't pitch tents out in those fields normally, but we do. Because we're scouts and we do that kind of thing. Now, they're perfectly good beds at home, but we'd rather sleep on the ground. And believe me, talk to your leaders. It's long since been fun to sleep on the ground in a field next to a speedway, let me tell you. Sometimes we like it hard. You know, I'll never forget how many were there 4 years ago, maybe at the Centennial camp out at Camp Nash. Oh my goodness, Camp Nash, land of flowing mud. Yeah. Woo! I'm on fire, I guess. My first camp, I don't know Camp Nash without mud, really. My first camp out, it was the fall camporee, and it had rained. There was so much water on the ground that the mud was just flowing. It was one of those things that, you know, my mom would look out and say, they're going to cancel that event, aren't they? Are you kidding? We're not going to cancel that. I'm going to get a black bead out of this, Mom. This is inclement weather. You know, that's a coveted bead there. You know, I'm going to go. I'm going to get the bead. What would be better than to go to an event? We don't want to just go and hang out and just kind of muddle through. We want to go out to the worst elements and say, yeah, it's going to rain. It's going to snow. It's going to be below zero. And we like it that way because we're scouts. We're going to get a bead. We want to go get the bead. We want to get the bead, the patch, and not just the patch. We want the patch with the special limited edition gold Mylar border that says our patrol was the best whole patrol at the Camboree, even though it was minus 20 the whole weekend. We do that. We're scouts. We're a little crazy like that, but we do. If I look at my life and the things I did for a bead, oh my gosh, try to explain this to my mom. You're like, you're going where? What? No, are they paying you? No. Mom, there's a bead I'm going to get. It's a really rare one that we only get if we do this. And oh, my goodness. We're a little weird like that. As a priest, you know, I get to celebrate a lot of weddings and Last year I had an interesting event. I celebrated a wedding for a couple of our professional staff on the Heart of America Council, two district executives that were friends of mine that I got to know, and I did their wedding, and it takes a weird scout to know a weird scout, because I dare say no other priest has ever gotten a gift like this. They gave me a beautiful gift on their wedding. It was a pair of Mikasei claws, all painted up as a keeper of the sacred bundle, and I'd never received such a great gift in my whole life, and only scouts would understand, I guess, how that works. That's part of our way. Lots of people can sit inside and play video games and just try to stall out life. Scouts are not like that. We want to go out and conquer. We want to be strong, physically fit, mentally fit, so that we can go out and conquer no matter what the situation is. Because often life throws at us more than just a muddy camp out or cold weather. Life throws a bunch of stuff in our way, but we like it hard. And I think that's why I feel so much at home amongst the scouts. Because oftentimes we find in our Christian life, don't we, that it is hard. I mean, gone are the days where it's just kind of easy to be Christian, especially to be Catholic. All over, society, the world, the flesh, the devil, our enemies from the beginning, are all there trying to throw obstacles in our way. Lesser people would just say, you know what, it's too hard. Too hard. Give in to temptation over and over. We can't possibly resist the way that our culture is going. How can we stand in the face of a society that's going a different way? Scouts aren't like that. You say, you know what? We're used to difficult. We can do that. If life throws difficult at us, that's where we're at our best. Make it bad. We'll get the patch with the Mylar border, and we'll be victorious in life too. So that's the second thing about the way. The hard way is often the best way. In fact, when I get lost most in life, one of the things I have to do right away is say, all right, there's two different things I can do. Normally I have to say, which is the harder one? Do that one, because that's probably the right one. So I like that we have that kind of craziness together as scouts. We like hard. But, third thing, don't make it harder than it has to be. We're also pretty good at trying to go light. How many have been to Philmont? Oh my goodness, okay, we got lots of Philmont people and some few. How many want to go to Philmont? There we go. Okay, I've been to Philmont for two treks. I've been to the PTC Training Center. One of the greatest kind of memories, I get to celebrate Mass a lot of places as a priest. Celebrating Mass on a rock in the backcountry at Philmont, there is nothing quite like that. I mean, you talk about celebrating Mass in different places. God's country out there in New Mexico is really something. But I learned a lot to go to Philmont, because it's true, we can drive up our big trailers. That's good. We got a lot of equipment. We know how to set up a camp and make it look nice. We can drive up a big bus and trailers, and we know that. But there's something, too, about knowing that we can put everything we need on our back for 12 days and be just fine. That was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life out at Philmont. I was hiking. It's like, you know, day 9 or something, and I haven't showered in like 12 days. And the crew is not smelling good. We're just tired as all can be. And I remember one day we rolled up, and it was the afternoon. It was getting ready for, you know, those rain showers that come over the range every afternoon. And we got to Cypher's Mine. They do this beautiful little thing there with banjos and their music. And I was sitting on the front porch of Cypher's Mine in Philmont. And I remember thinking, you know what, I've been on this trail for 9 days. All I've got with me, I carry on my back each day. I really don't have anything with me. I'm in the middle of nowhere. A rain kind of started to come down on top of that tin roof sitting on the front porch. One of the staff members pulled out their harmonica, and I was sitting in the porch swing, and they pulled out a banjo, and we just kind of started singing. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't have anything really with me, but gosh, I'm happy. This is, I don't know where I'd rather be. This place is so peaceful, and I'm just content. I've got everything, it seemed like, and really I had nothing. I think that's an important lesson for us too, that as we try to make our way through this world, sometimes less is more. They say at Philmont, you know, an ounce in the morning is a pound at night, and that's so true. So part of being smart is knowing we don't have to carry everything around with us. We don't have to try to do everything, take everything with us. Sometimes it's when we try to bring too much that it works out to our own detriment. I mean, when I go to Philmont, I mean, I'm trying to get rid of every ounce I can. I mean, I'm like, I don't need a fork and a spoon, do I? I'll get one of those Lexum sporks that has a fork and a spoon, and, you know, I don't need a whole toothbrush. I'll break my toothbrush in half, and that saves a couple ounces. I don't really need a dish, do I? I can use like a piece of plastic that I can mold into a bowl. You know what I'm talking about. Philmont is like the art of trying to get rid of everything. I think that's a good lesson for life, too. What baggage are we carrying around? Are we trying to go through life with a bunch of weight that we don't need? Hard is good, but we don't need to make it harder than it has to be. What do we need to get rid of? I add to that maybe a fourth point. The stuff we're carrying around, sometimes what gets in our way, the perfect plan that God has for us to get to heaven, is that we're trying to go too many ways. We're carrying around a lot of extra stuff. I have to do this. I want to play this sport, and I want to do that. I want to be in the play, and I want to be in the band, and I want to be in the science club, and I want to be in scouts, and I want to do this and that. There's a lot of stuff we can do. And I see you guys. I love it because you're so excited, and you're doing all kinds of stuff, and you're going every which direction. But sometimes the most important thing we do is to say, no, not multiple ways. I choose this way. This, maybe just one thing. I was like you. I did a lot of stuff in scouts, but I can remember when I was a scout, I never missed a camp out on a weekend. I wasn't going to let my patrol down. Now I see so many people that, you know, I can't go on the camp out, and I can't be at scouts all the time because I got this sport and I got that. Sports are great. I played lots of sports. But, you know, when everybody starts out, everybody thinks they're going to be Michael Jordan. Yeah, I'm going to get really, really good at basketball, and I'll be Michael Jordan. Well, the truth is, and all the effort you put into those sports, and I did it, probably sitting here today is not Michael Jordan. I mean, probably, I'd be in a group of this, I bet none of you are going to be professional basketball players. But yet, think about how much effort we put into soccer and football and baseball and all those practices and games, and in the end, it's just a sport. Do we sometimes, I fear now, people are saying no to scouting because they want to do all these sports? Not that they're not good, but the question is, what is going to be the defining thing in your life? I don't play any of the sports anymore that I used to, but I still scout. I'm still here today. I mean, I got my claws and my arrowhead all underneath this. I still do that. My basketball career is long over. I had a great hurdling career in junior high. That was really great. That's done. I don't do any of that, but scouting I still do. So I encourage you to find something in your life that's not just another way, but what's it really going to be about? What are you willing to commit to? That is probably the most important decisions you will make in your life. Where will I say no to something to say yes to something bigger, to make a commitment? Because although Michael Jordan is probably not sitting here this morning, I bet I can guarantee you the next great Scoutmasters, you're all sitting right here. I can guarantee it. There's no person I remember better than my Scoutmaster. Greatest day of my life is when I became Scoutmaster of my troop. Amazing. You're here. You all, no doubt, the next great Scoutmasters are sitting here. Don't be afraid to make a commitment to scouting. To say, you know what, I can't be on that third team because I'm going to be a scout. I'm going to go. I'm going to participate. You will never wind up worse off for having committed your life to something important. I can assure you that scouting is something worthy of that kind of commitment. To say, yes, I will do this and not something else. That's a good way to choose for your life. The only better way I can think is what Jesus tells us in the gospel today when he's talking about the way. He says, I am the way. Greatest commitments I've ever made in my life to scouting. 28 years later now, I'm still doing it. But to make that commitment to Jesus Christ, that is the most important commitment you will ever make in your life. And a lot of times we think that that will limit our way. That if I say yes to my Catholic faith, that somehow that closes off so many doors. Quite the opposite. The greatest day of my life probably was when I knelt before Archbishop Nauman here. He laid his hands on my head, and through the power of the Holy Spirit made me a priest of Jesus Christ. That was the greatest day. Now, a lot of people would look at that and say, well, you just closed off a bunch of doors. You just narrowed your way. Well, in some ways, that's true. Said no to a lot of other things. Wife, family. So I wanted to be married for a long time. But I found a better way. Not the only way, but the way that God had for me. That big purple line down my GPS that I had been running from a long time. And God said, you gonna follow me now? I said, yes. And I've never been happier. Cutting off lots of other ways for the way of Jesus Christ. Now, in this group, I bet at least a couple of you are probably called to the priesthood. Maybe some of you to the diaconate. That is a worthy way to go in life. There's no uniform I'd rather wear than my scout uniform, other than to put the clothes of a priest on top of that. That's a worthy commitment for your life. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Notice he says, the way. Not a way. There's lots of other religious figures that come and say, I'm a way. You could follow this way. You know, the Buddha would come and say, I found a way to enlightenment. Muhammad would say, I found a way to praise God. Even the Jews would say, well, God gave a way to Moses in the Ten Commandments. Those are ways. No person in the history of the world has ever come and said what Jesus Christ did. He doesn't just say that there's a way. He says, first of all, there is the way, which is radical in itself. But then he says that I am the way. He's closing off every other way and says, this is it. Follow me. No other religious figure in the world has ever said something so radical as that. And that means it requires our complete response. There can be no, well, I'll try this way and I'll go that way. And in the end, if we want to get home, we have to start following the way, and that's Jesus Christ. Our readings tell us today that in the early church, the faith went and spread everywhere. How will that happen today if you don't do it? It's great that we all come together today as scouts and we have this solidarity and a great mass like this. But the question now is, what happens? What after this? It's Easter. The apostles went out after Easter and told everybody about the way. In fact, the early church, before they got the business cards, that, you know, you said Peter, Apostle, Catholic Church Incorporated, before that, they were just called the way. How will everybody learn about this way if we don't tell them? Start today. I'm blessed to be able to be with you this morning to share a little bit of how our ways cross in Jesus Christ and scouting. But other people need to hear about the beauty of our Catholic faith. It's worth a commitment, the commitment of your life, whether that's a priesthood, married life, consecrated life. God has a plan for you. He's got that little GPS. I encourage you today, if you're way off the track, hit home. Say, God, I turn it over to you. Where do I go? Don't be surprised if it's the hard way, because it probably will be. I'm pretty proud that my claws are hard way. We like hard way. Don't be afraid to say yes to whatever Jesus would ask, because in the end, he is the way. If we follow him, we're going to get home, and we're going to be happy doing it. I'm so thankful today that our ways crossed. I pray that we cross many times again in scouting in the future. Look forward to seeing you down camp, and especially as we gather in the Eucharist now, to know that we are so blessed to be together as scouts, but especially as Catholic scouts. God bless.